You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Relax this Sunday with a little moment to yourself and the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Welcome to the official Masked Singer podcast, a production of iHeartRadio and Fox, executive produced by KT Studio. We are the one, the only official podcast for the Masked Singer.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
You know what time it is, man. America's number one show and the biggest best mystery game on TV.
Big words right there.
Yeah.
I'm your host, your boy Bow Wow Man, a.k.a., well, I mean, you guys know me as the Frog from Season 3. And I'm here to give you the lowdown on everything happening behind the scenes of your favorite show.
Season 4 is off to a bang!
Now, this is how it's going to go down.
Take it up!
Each week, I'll be giving you guys an exclusive interview with the latest performer who has been unmasked. But lifting the curtain on what happens backstage is,
what?
It's kind of tough. I mean, it really is. You know, the men and women that work on the show go to extreme measures to keep everything in secrecy. And when I say everything, listen to me, everything.
Being a panelist on The Masked Singer, it is like being part of the CIA. You got to keep everything secret.
I basically lived in a costume for like 2 months straight, all right? It was a pleasure to go home and be able to see my face in a mirror. So getting backstage is, it's like top secret security clearance at the Pentagon or something. It's literally that insane.
We've lost control.
No!
Do it.
No!
But I will be here with you guys all season, talking with all the insiders that make Masked Singer the biggest mystery game show in the world. Not just the city, not just the state, but the world, okay? So we'll see what we can uncover.
The clues, for me, give me life. Again, life gives me comedy.
As a special bonus, I'm gonna check in with my main man, the Clue Czar, who will reveal a clue that's only available to our podcast listeners. I gotta watch you, Clue Czar.
Ready for the clue?
Please. Who is that? Hey, listen, man. Tonight's episode was epic, okay? If there was a bigger word than epic, I would use it. Giant. It was enormous. It was, okay, I think you guys get the point. But before we get to that, here's what went down on the first two episodes of season 4, just in case you didn't watch, which should never, ever happen again. I mean, ever. Episode 1 had amazing performances and the first ever duo on Masked Singer. That's crazy, right? Yeah, the Snow Owls. But not everyone could advance. The first one to be unmasked, Dragon. And I couldn't believe who it was. Moving on to episode 2, this one right here was insane. We had a whole new group of 6 secret celebrities with only 5 moving to the next round. One had to go, and as promised in the lead up to the show, we were going to see a truly iconic moment in Masked Singer history.
What?
It's not that part of the show yet.
No, you can't do that.
Men in Black, I need some help.
What is happening?
Oh my God! Mickey Rourke!
Tonight's episode kept that unpredictable energy up. And if you missed tonight's unmasking, you better stick around,
because I'm going to have the first exclusive interview with that performer later in the show. Oh, look, you don't want to miss this one.
My man, you guys were all so close, but so far.
Now that we're all caught up, let's get this started.
Who is that?
Part of what makes Masked Singer so fun is our amazing celebrity panel. I mean, you guys know it would be no show without the panel. Now, this week, I got to talk with the dude that is perhaps the funniest and most outrageous of them all. It's my bro. This is my guy, my main man, Ken Jeong. Ken, what up? Can you hear me, baby?
Oh, yeah. Yo, what's up, dog? What's up? What's up? Hey, guys.
They hear the voice. They know who's in the house, man. Ken, what's going on with you, man? How you doing? I haven't seen you since, man, it's been some months.
I haven't seen you since the finale of season 3, which you just crushed, by the way. Insanely amazing. Just so good. I think it was the toughest finale we had to judge, because it was in any given Sunday kind of mentality, you know. You just never had a bad set. Never had a bad set. It was incredible.
Man, that's a major coming from you, man, because you guys see in so many strong vocalists on the show, and you know what I mean? So I have my doubts, but you guys definitely made me feel right at home every single time I hit the stage. So, and speaking of the show, Ken, let's take them back just a little bit. How did you actually even get approached to do Masked Singer?
Yeah, that's a great question. It turned out Masked Singer is the number one show in Korea. That's where the Masked Singer initially began. And my mom, I'm of Korean descent, and even though my Korean parents live in America, they have a satellite and they watch all the Korean shows, and they love the Masked Singer. And my mom told me all about it. She sent me YouTube links of the Korean show, and she said, "You got to do this show." She actually said this show could change your career, and no joke. Because initially I was skeptical. I was like, oh, I don't know. You know, I don't know if I could do this or you know, if I have an aptitude for this. And it was really my mom. My mom told me to do it. So if anyone listening out there, America, if you do what your mom tells you to do, everything will be all right.
I'm trying to tell you. Moms know best. It's crazy because hearing your story, because that's something that I didn't even know. And it's kind of similar to why I did Masked Singer. You know, I had my doubts at first. I was a little skeptical. I was like, man, listen, I can rap and move and perform. But if I have to really sing like Beyonce style, I'm going home before I even walk on the lot. It's over. You know? but my daughter was the one who put the battery in my pack, like in my back, and said, yo, dad, this is my favorite show. Dad, you got to do it. You got to be the frog, dad. Do it for me. Please, dad. I just want to be the cool kid. And I'm like, I can't let her down. So I'm definitely doing it. I mean, well, Ken, look, when I was on season 3, you had me in the frog suit. Listen, I was sweating like crazy standing there, right? So, you know, I got the big old head on top of my already big head. And I'm like, this is crazy. So they throw it to you, and Ken is just so comedy. I'm telling you right now, that's LL Cool J in that frog. And I'm like, look, I said, I appreciate the compliment. You know, if I was built like LA, I would have busted out that frog suit. You know, and I said, yo, Ken is crazy. I'm like, this is my boy. Yo, he really guessed I was LL. And then to throw him off, you mentioned, he was like, yo, I think that's Alfonso Rivera. I think that's Carlton from Fresh Prince. And I said, okay, now we're going to the height thing. Now, okay, I got it. That was a good guess. And I tell myself, I'm like, yo, I have to throw a curveball at him, man, because Rob is too hot. Like, he's too close. And right, remember, right. I started doing the Carlton dance. And that's even right. Even Jenny got like, you know, and I just to throw everybody off, but oh my gosh, like me and your back and forth, man, on season 3,
we
you almost jumping
time.
Over the table. Me
oh,
jumping
we had this thing going on. And with the look of the frog mask, because the frog mask, you know, the actual mask, it was my favorite outfit. It's actually one of my favorite outfits of the entire series because of that look on the frog mask face. It's so adorable, yet it's so, but it's got that little bit of swag at the same time in the suit and everything like that. And when we had that run, where I was joking a little bit too much and I got annoying. And then there was that moment, and I forget, and I don't know how much they, if it was in the edit, but there was this, but in the, if they ever show like an uncut version of it, there was like that long cut. Remember, like, basically, it was like we're playing on different basketball teams and us challenging each other. Hey, let's just meet at the parking lot if you really think I'm that person. Like, you know, it was like,
you really think
I'm Lil Fizz? Well, let's get, you want to go somewhere else and talk about this? It was that, because the frog couldn't say much except through the modulated voice. But there was that moment I was, even though I was having fun comedically doing that, and you and I remember that, it was that little bit like it was that little moment of Masked Singer universe kind of squaring off. And then I went home. I was like, that may have been my favorite moment on the series, just because that right there is where the panelists, the dynamic of the panelists and the contestant, and I felt like you and I had the best time. You know, it was like a dance partner, man. It was, without even, obviously we couldn't work that out ahead of time because we can't see or talk to each other. So I felt like you and I had an amazing chemistry, you know, while we were doing that kind of run. And it was really, I got a charge out of that, to be honest. That just shows like the power of the show and being there at the live tapings. You were just unstoppable every single time.
Thanks,
you connected. And it's like the highest compliment I can give any performer. You're incredibly, almost impossible to follow on a live performance.
Man, look, those words right there, man, I take that with
for real.
The biggest grain of humble pie, man.
It reminds me of the I remember the finale, the season 3 finale, I felt like was the most competitive finale, you know at that time. It was really just, I felt like everything was just to me a toss up, and it feels like that it feels like that again this season. There's so many to follow up from, anyone from just thinking of the contestants we've seen so far, from the popcorn to the Seahorse was outstanding, who performed last week. You know, I watch it with my family as well at home, and I was just blown away just watching it. And I just want to say, you know, something that maybe the Masked Singer audiences here may not know. Like, I actually did a exhibition, like a one-off, where I performed on the Korean Masked Singer show in costume, just for one episode. It was the year of the pig. It was like 2019. You know, that's the Lunar New Year sign. And so I dressed up as a pig and I sang a song. And the only thing is, when you're not a musician like me, it's so nerve-wracking, because as liberating as it is, you're also in a costume that could be constraining and prohibitive, you know, in terms of expressing movement. So it is, you know, there's that one challenge. Did you find that, you know, especially with, you know, with the frog outfit, you know, with the head, you know, did you find that challenging?
What's crazy is actually, Ken, I was so close to picking the astronaut. Like, that was my pick. I was sticking with it.
Wow.
And that was my, and I know it blows me away when I tell them, but I said, listen, I have to be the first person to moonwalk in the moon suit on Masked Singer. It just makes sense. Right? And all my friends were like, yo, bro, you have to be the frog. You got to be the frog. You know, the suit, I can move in it. I can run. I can dance. I can slide. And it just felt very organic to me. I didn't really have much. Like, my costume, I put it on. It took me less than a minute. You know, it was putting on a suit, sliding on, throwing my shoes on, and I'm ready to go. So at first I was a little nervous, a little skeptical, but once you get in it, you get the flow of it, you start becoming the character, and then it just comes alive after that. You know, it just comes alive.
Oh man, what I loved about your performance is that your moves were just so, you know, actually, I remember in the clue package, you had said that you were self-taught, right? With all your moves.
Yeah.
So it was, I mean, because we were like, this is, and Nicole Scherzinger, who won Dancing with the Stars, was like, okay, this is good. You know, there was like, oh, there's a professional dancer. You know, this is someone who's trained. And then one of my favorite moments comedically on The Masked Singer, it involved the frog. And I said, oh, it's definitely Lil Fizz. And Nick and I are going back, arguing back and forth. I was like, you know, we carpooled together.
You said
we carpooled together. Don't even tell me it's not Lil Fizz. You know, and then exactly. Nick goes, well, if you carpooled together, why? How would you know? And then the camera cuts to me, and I'm speechless for the first time ever on the show. I'm a very talkative guy, and I say nothing, and then I sit down, and like Nick caught
me,
and it was one of my favorite moments just comedically on the show, man. And it was so, when you just get excited and you just get hyped up and you're talking about all the clues and then you just that's all because of the clues. Ooh. You know, that the clues for me give me life, again, life gives me comedy, so it's that equation. And and for me, you know, like I'm saying, it's the best escape ever right now. I really believe that America needs a Masked Singer more than ever, because if we can get away for an hour or two a week and just see what the frog is up to, see, you know, what the popcorn is up to, what the whatchamacallit or the thingamajig, you know, what could be better than that? You know, it's just so much fun.
Man. I always knew how to groove. You know, grooving is not dancing. Grooving is being cool. Dancing is dancing. So when I got to Masked Singer, you know, I get on set and, you know, I go through vocal. I'm like, okay, vocal coach. Oh, this is going to be lit. Okay, cool. Time to go home. They're like, no. You're going to go over to that building and you're going to go do some choreography rehearsals. So I'm like, choreography? I don't dance. I'm a rapper. I don't. And for one second, I had to talk to myself and say, you know what? This is not a Bow Wow thing. You have to snap out of trying to be cool, trying to be, you know, the cool rapper. Like, you're not Bow Wow on this show. You are the frog, which means this is probably the only time that you can cut up and be who you are as if you are at home, because the people can't see your face, right? And that played a big part of, you know, my confidence level. You couldn't see my facial expressions, me hitting these moves, because we all know when you're a dancer, we, you know, dancers, they can hit some faces you've never seen before. And for me, man, it was different, but I loved the challenge. Like, in there, I remember, I don't know what performance it was, and when I looked at it, I said, there's no way. Like, you guys are playing. I know I'm winning, but now you guys are really thinking. Listen, I'm not Usher with the dance moves, okay? We gotta pipe it down just a little bit, just to take it down a little bit. Yeah, I know how to Harlem shake. I know how to groove. I can do the popular dances. I can do the nay-nay. I can whip. I can do all of that stuff. But this was like next level Justin Timberlake meets Usher Raymond meets Michael Jackson. Like, this was next level choreography. And I wanted it. I wanted the challenge. I wanted to learn it. I learned, you know, this particular routine. I learned this routine, I promise you, in 30 minutes. I stayed doing it. Was late to vocals because I just wanted to nail it. I wanted to look back at this show and my performance and be happy with myself, knowing that I did something out of the box. I did something different, and the people loved it for it, and I didn't lose none of my cool points. So I know that I said that was the last question, but you brought up something important before I let you go. You said clues. Is there anything that you can give our Masked Singer podcast listeners? Any clues and deets on the Snow Owls and the sun? Any small clue?
Being a panelist on the Masked Singer, it is like being part of the CIA. You got to keep everything secret, and you got to, we're all sworn to secrecy on so many things. And it's tough. It's tough, but that is not even the secret sauce. It's just the sauce of the Masked Singer is really not knowing who is behind the mask until the mask is off.
Now, look, I told you guys all show long, I got big things coming in. And I'm telling you right now, it gets no bigger than this at all. I'm telling you, when I say big, this is big, because this person right here is the first Unmasked Singer to come on to the show and holler at us. And it's my boy, Brian Austin Green. What's going on? I'm talking about actor, musician, producer. Oh, we got a lot in common, Brian. What's going on, man?
What's going on, man?
Oh, wow.
There he is.
You're here.
How are you?
Oh, man.
Yes.
Hey.
Oh, my.
How are you, Ken?
Brian is hilarious.
How you doing? You know, I guessed you right. All right, you're welcome. Yeah. I got you right. Thank goodness.
Yeah, you did. Absolutely.
Oh, I nailed it. Oh, man.
You had it.
Yeah, just, you know, it's just the way I am, you know. I'm like the James Harden of the show. I just nailed that three-pointer just from a distance. I just knew it was totally B-A-G.
It was either between myself, Michael Phelps, or Lou Ferrigno. I figured you would get one of the three. Good work, man.
Sorry for the long guess. Sorry. I got carried away, Brian.
It wasn't so much the length of it. I mean, it was. You talk a lot, but the costumes are really hot. I don't know if you've ever worn one. I know, Bawa, you did. You wore a costume.
Yo, B.
They're really hot inside.
Yo, don't look. I sweated so. I've never sweated so much in my life. Never.
Dude, it's
like even in rehearsals, it's intense in rehearsal. I would tell myself, don't go too hard. It's just rehearsal. And I find myself yes.
Yeah, it's crazy. Doing a wardrobe fitting for it, and the first time, like, they put all the stuff on, I was sitting there in the room doing it, and I was thinking, man, I don't know if I'm going to be able to handle. Like, I'm not claustrophobic at all, but it's a whole different level of hot, man. It's like there's no air circulation at all inside. It's really stale air and really hot air because it's your breath hitting you in the face every time you breathe. And then you have to dance and sing, and it's and then Ken talking for an hour and a half, you know, about garlic knots and stuff.
I talked for an hour and a half of a wrong guess, and to Brian's
point, you know
what
though, you stuck with it.
What was the guess?
I stuck the landing.
I give you that. You were absolutely committed.
I stuck the landing.
He thought I was LL Cool J. Yeah, he thought I was LL Cool. So I want to hear. You got to take me back. I want to hear
guys.
Guesses, like,
I get nervous. I panic. Okay, guys. Guys, I get anxious. Yeah. The camera's on me. I'm not a musician. I'm not a recording artist. And I get a little bit anxiety. And then I reach.
Big time.
That one knows. Like, you start trying to figure out, like, okay, what little things can I do to, like.
Yep.
Make the guesses further away from myself, like certain ways of walking or certain ways of like I started thinking, like, I'm going to start singing more like with a bit more of like a Jamaican accent and all of, like,
yo,
I was really
Brian,
trying.
Got
like,
way
I was I was really
same
I was
thing,
really
yo.
Reaching.
Yo, that's I amazing. Promise you, I said. I did the same thing. I said, now this song, I'm going to sing it a little higher. I'm going to try to get it into it. Instead of like doing it like
this,
I'm
like Bob Marley. Like Bob Marley's, like, you know, long lost cousin that he doesn't ever want to know he had.
Yo, Brian, how did you go about getting the songs? Were you picking records that you were comfortable with?
Literally, we had the first Zoom call about songs. And it quickly strayed from what I imagined. The first song I was going to come out to was, funny enough, was Robin's song, When I Get You Alone. And then I recorded it with Tim working on vocals. And all of a sudden they were like, okay, well, how about this song? Like, and I text Robin afterwards, and I was like, man, I was going to come out to When I Get You Alone, but that's a hard song to sing. And he was like, man, I have trouble singing that song. And I was like, okay.
Oh,
that
man.
That makes me feel
crazy.
A little better. So
shout out to Tim, man.
It seemed like a great idea, like in theory. And then all of a sudden it was like, okay, we were looking at Jamiroquai. We were going like Virtual Insanity in that direction. And then I couldn't sing that either. So I was like, man. Right. So we went with the Peas because they were on my album in 95 before they had their solo deal. Like Will came up with the name Black Eyed Peas in my kitchen, I think, at my old house. Like I've known him and App forever. And then Taboo, like when he used to just dance with them, they used to come to my clubs that I would promote and all of that. So I'd known them forever. So, I mean, lyrically it was a lot because they have a lot of energy and they're a bit more up tempo, but it's still fun, man. And Miguel, the music supervisor and creator on the show, he did a great job with the whole opening, and it was fun. It was a really good time. And
you
then,
crushed
it.
You crushed that Black Eyed Peas song. Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Like, was he telling you, hold your head down. Did he ever tell you that? Don't hold it up high, hold it down.
Yeah, he did. He did a little bit, but you know, it was challenging this year because we had to do everything by Zoom.
I met with Tim
a couple times in like a different studio space to sort of go over stuff and try stuff, but it ended up being way more useful over Zoom because when we would be in the studio, it was like he had to be in a different room. We had to, you know, we either had to have masks on or he had to be on the other side of the glass. It was like this whole, I was in a vocal booth by myself and it was like, man, this isn't really helping me. Like I feel like I'm just in a studio recording vocals and that's not, I need more than that. So we ended up doing most of everything on Zoom. I had three wardrobe fittings. I had costume meetings and producer meetings and everything on Zoom. And we did about, I'd say 15 meetings before we started taping. And I had no idea what I was walking into the first day when I got to the stage because I hadn't been anywhere. I mean, I was getting tested up until that point, probably once a week, just in case we would do in-person stuff. And then once we were at the stage shooting, then we would do tests like every 2 or 3 days. And it was with COVID, it was really challenging to do for sure. And then doing the wardrobe fitting with a mask on, that kind of sucked.
Oh my gosh, I couldn't imagine. Yeah. And Ken, just hearing his process of this season, what he had to go through, it's crazy because COVID hit like right as we were done, maybe like a month later. So we got a chance to get in and get out. But Ken, I couldn't even imagine learning songs and then the vocal thing, like trying to get to Tim through. And by the way, guys, for all our podcasters, Tim is the vocal coach on The Masked Singer who works with a lot, pretty much all of us. And I just couldn't imagine, man, just trying to sing and hit notes through, you know, an app or on Zoom. And that had to be tough. My hat is definitely saluted. And I salute to you and everyone because to not have that direct connection with your vocal coach, it's got to be even more challenging. But another thing that was challenging as well is the secrecy, the privacy aspect, the fact that we cannot tell our children, we can't tell our wives, girl, no one can know. Like, was that hard for you?
Yeah, it sucks when you're working on something and like I have the kids here and I, you know, you get excited, like you want to tell everybody. And the idea of like, I just had to go into everything going, you know, yeah, I'm working next week, you know, I can't talk about it, sign an NDA. And people were like, okay, like, we'll let you off the hook this time. It's not until you get there that you really realize the gravity of it. Like everyone was calling me giraffe and all of that, which I know Bow Wow, you were experiencing the same thing. Everyone was
never call me Bow. Never.
They get right in their heads like, okay, you know, I'm going to call you giraffe. And I was like, but you know who I am. Like we're on Zoom. You see me. You know, that's not my name. And it didn't. And that was the hardest thing to get used to. It's weird. It's like, you know, Ken, imagine if you grew up being Ken and all of a sudden people were like, yeah, so we're going to call you Mike on this job. And you're like, wait a minute, but you know, my name is Ken. And literally everybody sticks Mike to John. It. And all of a sudden Mike everyone's John. Like, hey, so Mike, no, for real. Like, you know, can you do a wardrobe fitting tomorrow? And you're like, sure, Stacy, that's not your name. And Mike isn't my name, but you know, whatever. So I've gotten a few texts since the show. And I've specifically said to people like, listen, don't call me giraffe anymore. Like that ship has sailed, man. I'm done. You know who I am. And I respect you and I consider us friends, but we're not truly friends unless you call me by my name.
I hear that.
I put your smack down on that real fast, man. I put the kibosh on the whole giraffe thing. Giraffe was done after episode 2.
Oh my gosh, I couldn't imagine, man, having that neck. Oh my god.
Yeah,
oh,
that costume was crazy, man. The costume itself, aside from the head, was like 4 layers thick because you have an outfit underneath with a hood that's just for sweating, so the sweat doesn't run down your body, it catches the sweat. Then you have the outfit that goes over it, but I had like steps that I had to put everything on in. Like I had to put on the pants first, and then the shirt had things that held the shirt down on my pants, so I had to step through those, and then the shirt zipped up the back. Like I had this whole intricate outfit, and if I didn't put it on or take it off in the right order, I couldn't do it. It was like a Rubik's Cube. But it was crazy, man. It was definitely a bucket list experience, and I'm glad it's done. I'll check that off and go, okay, done. Did that. I need to go cage diving with great white sharks, and I've done skydiving. I did the Masked Singer. I had Ken talk for an hour and a half. Like, I'm good.
Hey, Ken, get him, Ken. Come on, man. You can't go out like that, Ken. Come on, out on the podcast, Ken.
You know what? I mean, if I was a DJ and I had a name, it would be DJ Read the Room, because I feel everybody's pain right now, and it definitely, I read it and I feel it, and it is just seeing your outfit, Brian. It was like I'm just thinking about how that first time we saw you perform. I just remember me and Nicole were looking at you like, this is a recording artist. This is like, you just crushed, you know, Let's Get It Started. So for you to say you don't consider yourself a recording artist, I mean, I was like, oh, you are. I mean, you are a musician, and listen, you show that.
I appreciate on that, the show. I honestly am not.
For real.
Thank you. That's one of the things I walked away from that experience thinking was, you can have a really good ability of connecting with people. And I felt like I had a lot of fun with you, even though we didn't say two words to each other. I felt like he's doing something, and then I'll respond to it. And then he knows I'm responding, and then he'll play it. And then, so we play, it was like a tennis match without a tennis ball. Like, it was really fun, because that was such a unique situation. And that just takes a lot of listening on your part to do. So I commend you for sure on that, because that was.
Oh, I mean, when you had people bring out, like, I think something for you to rest on while I was doing my insane guess. And then, I mean, literally Bow Wow, he was lying down, taking a nap and doing these things, you know, and I was just going on and on and on and just annoying everybody. And I'm just going, and I'm just like reaching.
That became the fun part of it, like the stuff with you. Like, I remember when I didn't get eliminated the first night after Let's Get It Started, but you talked forever. I remember thinking, like, I came to set the next day, and I was like, okay, so I saw a bedazzled stool somewhere. I was like, could the Men in Black just have that offset so
that was
they
you
could bring me
that
the
was
stool
you.
When I asked? Yeah.
Oh my, wow, you're, again, the creativity that you bring, and you're right, Bawa and I were talking about the connection. We had, like, the Frog and I had a connection. Lassie, there was similar dynamic. We didn't know who was behind the mask, but just the fact that both of us, you know, like, we're engaged in that dynamic of the show, of that it's almost like you're in this Masked Singer universe, you know, and we're all just kind of playing in this sandbox.
For me, when they would give me my schedule, And it happened to me, and I want to know if it happened to you. When you go last of the day, and you have to sit in the trailer, and you have to wait
with
all
the
day. Yo, if you're going on last, like, did you get that yet? I mean, like, did you go on?
I didn't have to go on last, but, you know, the first show,
you're lucky.
You have five performances. So, Ken, you don't know. They put you in your trailer with a live feed. So the only thing you can watch is Masked Singer. You can't watch. I asked him, I was like, hey, so, you know, I see a DirecTV. Like, do I get any sort of channels? And they were like, no, it's just there for looks. Like, no, you don't get it. Cause I wanted to watch like CNN or something. I felt like I was missing stuff. So I'm watching Masked Singer literally all day.
Yeah.
And what they do then is they rehearse, dance, like, you know, musical numbers, and then they replay the rehearsals back like five or six times, and they do, you know, they do sort of a camera call, like, okay, camera five, camera one, camera two, like you're sitting in the trailer, and that's literally all you're listening to. So I would turn that down, and then it was like, man, I have to learn lyrics. And I remember when I got there and I said to him, I was like, are there going to be teleprompters or something for lyrics? Because I'm not going to remember all these. And they were like, oh, yeah, there's three of them. I was like, oh, cool. There's three of them. three of them the size of like my laptop, like, and you know, 50 feet away. I was like, man, those don't do
they
me
are
any
deep.
Good.
I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about.
And yeah, and they don't, you know, doing Let's Get It Started, there's enough lyrics in that. I was like, man, you can't, unless you're putting one word at a time on that screen, like that's, I just have to memorize this, because those teleprompters, I don't get it. You can go to Costco and you can get, you know, 50-inch TVs pretty cheap. Like, why you guys need to
and
invest
plug them
in
up.
Some bigger teleprompters? Oh,
man, these are great notes, oh. Brian. I'll bring it up. I'll bring
I
it up.
I have a million
yeah.
of them. Yeah, yeah. So, get the DirecTV working in the trailer. Get the teleprompters bigger. So you're stuck in the trailer all day watching them rehearse Masked Singer. And so finally it's tape night. And you do your performance and you go back to your trailer and you see the other performances and you're like, oh man, that was, you know, good performance, son. Like, you don't know who anybody is. Right. And then all of a sudden they get to, like, you know, you get up on stage and, you know, and the person going home tonight is, you know, Dragon. And you're like, ah, oh, you wave the Dragon and go away. You go back to the trailer and you're like, man, I just want to see his unmasking. And so you're sitting in the trailer and I'm taking off all the clothes and I'm getting ready for his unmasking. You know, they get up to the point where Nick is twisting his head. And I'm thinking, oh man, you know, I can't wait to see who it is. And I get a knock on the door from a PA, like, you know, your car's ready. And I said, you know, I was like, hey, 5 minutes. I just want to see this unveil. And the screen goes black. Like, they don't show the unveil in the live feed because they don't want anyone to give away who was on the show. So I was like, man, I watched this whole damn thing.
You waited 8 hours.
Like, they went black on this unveil.
Live feed. You know, all
totally.
The cameras.
I'm watching this live feed all day long. I know all of his moves.
You get like associate producer credit because you gave ideas on how to what to do with the jib and the crane. And you
yeah,
know,
you're
all
sitting
these
there,
things.
You have a walkie-talkie. You're like, camera three, camera four, camera two.
Brian, man, we appreciate you for checking in. I promise we will never call you the giraffe again when you
promise, Brian. Promise,
hey,
Brian.
Thank you for having me, Brian. Man. And at some point, Bella, you and I will meet. And thank
definitely.
You for having me on the show. And Ken,
definitely.
Good
and
time,
Ken,
man, you were awesome.
You are amazing.
And this was special because Ken was actually, you know, he ended up co-hosting with me today, which I definitely appreciate. So big shout out to Ken. I appreciate you for hanging out with me and Brian.
We're all
part
of the same family. No, I was just...
Oh, yeah, we're here. Season 4 is here. Masked Singer. Make sure you guys tune in. Brian, thank you so much, my brother, for tuning in as well, for checking in with us. And like you said, man, and we'll be calling Ken for that dinner invite, too. Don't forget.
Oh, yeah,
that.
Both of you. Yes, absolutely.
Coffee,
dinner's on
else.
Me. Yeah,
I'm with nothing that. Else, man.
I'm
holding you to it.
Yeah,
absolutely. All right, guys.
All
thanks
right,
for
fellas.
Me.
Appreciate you guys,
much love.
Man.
Peace, y'all.
Always. Yes, all sir. Yeah. And now, what we've all been waiting for. Exclusive to iHeart listeners and, of course, our super fans. Here's the only place you'll get an extra clue. This is our clue czar. Now, look, I'm not going to give you his name, of course, because, you know, secrecy is a big thing around here with the Masked Singer. He is the brains behind every clue package. He comes up with all those riddles, all those subtle hints, and all the stuff that could throw you completely off. Trust me, I tried to guess, and I'm wasting my own time. I'm telling you that right now. Clue czar, what up, baby? You there?
I'm here, man. Excited to do this with you, Frog.
I know, man. I'm excited to have you on the show. You know what I mean? They got me. They called me to come down here and do the dirty work. I said, I'm available. Let's make it happen. I'm here with you.
I only know you as the Frog. I can't use your real name. We're just so conditioned against using celebrity names. So
and
it's going to be tricky
totally
to call you.
Because when I left set, they told me you're Frog forever. Just know that. Anybody associated with the show, we're calling you Frog. And I've already accepted that already.
Yeah, that's the thing people don't know is we don't, even in private, we don't say the celebrity name. We don't put it in an email. We don't put it in a document. It's literally nowhere. It's just Frog.
And seeing
so,
y'all heard
it's,
that
it's
first
weird to
from...
say, yeah, it's weird to still say
exactly.
T-Pain.
Exactly. So you couldn't even say my name. You couldn't even say it. But question though, Kluzar, just real quick, man, how long have you been on the show?
I got in season one, started out in a different role, and eventually kind of became the Kluzar.
How did you end up having like one of the coolest names in Hollywood? Like that's crazy.
The Kluzar.
How did that come about?
Kluzar is kind of new. It just I think basically I did Clues in season two and then kind of took over in season three. My partner in Clues, we call the Clue Queen. And and we have a couple other people on our team, but it's the Clue Czar and the Clue Queen.
That's crazy. That's crazy. And even just speaking of things that are crazy, tell all of our all of our podcast listeners about, you know, how tough it is to put together these clue packages, because there's a lot that goes, you know, into these packages. And these packages are a big deal because they actually help us get closer to who we think, you know, that person is under that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of layers that go into these, and we're trying to accomplish a lot in like 45 seconds. We're trying to, right, A, tell a story about each celebrity and really help viewers connect with them, because this is like their chance to really talk and tell their story. But obviously, we're also trying to have a wide range of verbal and visual clues. And some are kind of on the nose, some are for casual fans, some we hope the panel will pick up on, and sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. And then we have some that we call deep cut clues that are just for like the hardcore viewers who, you know, are on Reddit and Twitter and pause the screen and find these little gems that we put in there. And then, of course, we sometimes try to throw in clues that could lead to other celebrities that have similar voices that are also real clues. Like for you, for example, I think we did a toy soldier. Uh-oh. And that made the panel think of Soldier. You were Soldier Boy, but actually, you know, you worked with Soldier Boy and you're in a Soldier video with Destiny's Child. So it was a real clue to you, but it kind of pushed the panel in a different direction. So we try to balance all of these things in 45 seconds and tell a story that will hopefully help the audience connect and care about you and want to root for you.
Man, it's just crazy listening to you, how you come up with these clue packages, because they don't understand how in depth you get. Even when I would watch mine back, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I was even stumped. Y'all got me, and I'm me. And I'm sitting there like, a line about what does that have to do? And then one of my boys actually got in and said, bro, like, Mike, you got struck by lightning, remember? With the shoes. I'm like, oh my God. See, that's too deep. I wouldn't even have thought, you know, even past that. But
no, I was gonna say, with you, there was just, I loved all the clues with like the movies you did. Like there were so many like Mike clues and lottery ticket clues and
roll,
you know,
bounce.
We did a clue with when T-Pain was on and you gave him the friendship bracelet, and it was because he was the clerk in Lottery Ticket that gave you the winning ticket. Like it's those, yep, finding those connections are just awesome when you can find them. And then obviously it was like a misdirect that people thought it was someone else who sang that song. So
is it a terrific job at putting it like right in front of us without giving us too much? But it felt that we had just enough to guess it, like to guess. And that's the whole, the that's what keeps us watching. That's what keeps us tuned in is I got it. And what is the curve? And I love it. And the giraffe, like how, you know, we had Brian on earlier. How did you come up with his clue package? Like,
yeah, so his first package was actually all about his rap career. So again, right, you look at the theme of the package, it was a carnival. Because his rap, mm-hmm, album that he released was called One Stop Carnival. So right off the bat, there's a big clue with that. And that whole first kind of package was about the album because it didn't do so well. So I don't know what he told you in the interview, but the package was kind of about how he got ridiculed for it. So we saw the crowd throwing apples and tomatoes at him. Wow. The apples, of course, were green apples for his name, Green. He said he was in Knots because he was literally in Knots Landing, the TV show. There were a bunch of car references, so that kind of misdirected the panel to think he might have been a racer or a race car driver, but he actually loves racing. He won the Celebrity Grand Prix in 2010. So that was kind of his package. And at the end, he said that's a rap. So rap album right there.
These clues are hard, but it amazes me because these fans, they get them sometimes. They get them.
They do, yeah. No, I read everything online, and the fun thing is when fans find clues that we didn't even know that were in there, because you know everything can be a clue. Like my one example from last year was one of my favorite clues was for White Tiger Gronkowski. We had a 4 Score and 7 Years Ago poster with like Abraham Lincoln on it and George Washington. So it was for Patriots, and then 4 Score and 7 Years Ago is 87, which is his number. But someone on Reddit said also he scored 4 touchdown 7 years ago, which is true, which I had no idea about, but it was like this amazing connection that sometimes happens on the show. So it was like a double clue that wasn't even intended. Sometimes we do like recurring clues where there's a clue in each package, and when you add them all up at the end, they kind of make something else. So you got to look for those too.
Finally, I'm dying to know with everybody else, who is Popcorn, and can you please give us a little clue and give us some clues about Group A? You know, anything? Can I get a clue?
Popcorn? You want a kernel? You want a kernel for Popcorn?
See, that might be a hint right there. You said kernel pop. I gotta watch you, Kluzar.
I'll tell you watch what. You. Krog. Bow Wow. I'm gonna say Bow Wow even for this.
Okay.
You may actually have a connection to Popcorn, but I'm drawing a blank. That may or may not mean anything to you. That's the clue.
See, this is why we have the clues off for a reason, because he just stumped me. That's how good he is. That's why he's on The Masked Singer. You're not going anywhere. Kluzar, man, look, I appreciate you for calling in and checking in with us right here on The Masked Singer podcast. I appreciate you. I'm going to let you go ahead and get back to work so you can come up with some more clues.
All right, thanks. You know, and when you find out who Popcorn is, you're going to be like, oh, man, I should have known.
Oh. You know we got to talk about I Can See Your Voice, man. It's only right, man. Tell us about the new show. Just talk to us about it, man. I know you're excited, man. What can we expect?
Yeah, it's a lot. It really is a lot of fun, and it's called I Can See Your Voice, and it airs right after The Masked Singer, and it's some of the same producers of The Masked Singer, some of the same crew behind the scenes are involved. So it really is an honor to be a part of it. And again, it's an adaptation of a South Korean show by the same name, and it's one of the top shows. I think they've had like 8 seasons in Korea. And again, I asked my mom when I got offered to be the host. No joke. Last year, I asked my mom, have you heard of I Can See Your Voice? And she was like, on it, and just sent me some YouTube links, and I saw it. And that's exactly how it went down. And and again, my mom told me to do that show. So that's exactly. My mom doesn't even like me saying it. She's like, well, stop saying it. Stop saying that, you know? I was like, well, that's true, you know? It's like, you know, the narrative's too convenient. You know, my mom's like, okay, you know, what are you, kid show business? Why are you talking like that? And it really is. But it was fun to develop the show from the ground up, because we had a pilot. I got to be behind the scenes and kind of at least go to developmental meetings with the showrunner, James McKinley, and Craig Plestis, who also exec produces The Masked Singer. And shout out to Dan Swimer, who's a great, really a great producer, and Mike O'Connell, one of my dearest friends, and Melinda C. We're all like behind the scenes. And, you know, I was able to have the best seat in the house behind the scenes, is kind of like learning how to develop an unscripted show. This is great. Yes. This is amazing. So, congrats.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
And it's always good talking to you, sir. It's always good. So, much love.
Always.
Much love. Much love to your family.
You too, man. Stay
safe,
man.
Thank you so much.
See you soon, Kay.
Absolutely.
Let's do it. It's a wrap. Want to shout out everybody for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Join me next Wednesday with the next Unmasked Singer. Who will it be? Who will it be? I'm not telling you. You got to tune in and find out. I'm always bringing you all the inside scoop and another exclusive clue. The official Masked Singer podcast, a production of iHeartRadio and Fox, executive produced by KT Studio. Every Wednesday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to tune in to The Masked Singer on Fox every Wednesday night.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause.
Relax this Sunday with a little moment to yourself and the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.